All right, today we're going to cover anatomy of judgment. And if you'll remember, our structure back here where we've got an outer man, which is our body, and of course the inner man. The outer man is the fleshly part of us, the earthy part of us. The inner man is the spiritual part, the heavenly part. So I wanted to start out on this lesson on judgment by asking, what did the Jews, who are God's earthly people, what did they do wrong? And let's go to John chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. John chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, where the Lord tells us through John, he says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." So here we are back to the anatomy of a man. We've got our hearts, and our hearts start out with a lot of darkness in them. And when the light of Jesus Christ shines in, it starts to become lighter. But in the case of the Jewish nation, they didn't want that light. They liked it real well with the darkness that they lived in at the time. And by doing that, what did they miss? Let's go to John chapter 6, verse 63. So in other words, they busied themselves being righteous by their own works. They didn't want to see the light that God was sending them, which was Jesus Christ. And so in John chapter 6, verse 63, we learn that it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So what the Jews insisted on doing was relying on their flesh and not on Jesus Christ. And it says here that the flesh profiteth nothing. There's nothing we can do in the flesh that is any profit for us whatsoever. Yet that's all the Jews counted on, is what they could do in the flesh. What their works were is all that they counted on. So we know that the Spirit has quickened us. That when we believed in Jesus Christ, the Spirit quickened us. And through God's Word, that it brought us life. But he, the Spirit, can only work in us, even though he is in us, he can only work in us when we truly believe. And that's why the Lord tells us to study so that we can gain understanding, so that we can believe what he says, so that we can start to change. And it is a good question, if we're to study to gain understanding, how much understanding do we get from emotional eruptions, noises we can't understand, or other kind of fireworks that happen in some churches instead of teaching and understanding? We have to believe it in our hearts, and then that's letting the light in. That's what we're doing, is letting our light in. And of course, the first light is our salvation itself. Before that, we are in total darkness, even though we don't realize it. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. And while we're getting there, I'm sure you've all noticed that Charlie Sheen continues to be used by the national media and everybody they can as a perfect cover-up. You know, all they can talk about is Charlie Sheen. They're pointing at Charlie Sheen. And then they're doing that, they're covering up themselves. You know, they don't have to look at that dirty old Charlie Sheen. The Lord tells us we're all dirty old Charlie Sheens, you know. So, but they're busy looking at Charlie Sheen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, make sure I'm at the right place here, says, "For though we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Now, that is not the verse that I wanted. 1:18. Thank you very much. That's what I need, Karen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." So We're saved by believing in the incredible grace given to us through Jesus Christ. He took the judgment for us. He was judged on the cross for us. That's what happened. And he took God's wrath. God's wrath was released on Jesus Christ at the cross instead of on us. So when we believe in him, that's what happens, is he takes that for us. So, and the works that he ordains for us, that he ordains for us to do, come through believing more of his word, or having more light in our hearts. So, but here's the difference between us and the Jews. God doesn't put his words in us like he's going to do to the Jews in the New Testament. He's going to put it right in their hearts and in their minds, and they won't ever have to teach each other after that, because they'll all know it. We still need teachers. We still need to study. We need to put the word, the responsibility is in our hands to put that word in our hearts and in our minds. Now, once we do, the Holy Spirit uses those words to edify us, to convict us, and to grow our character. He works out these details in our heart, which produce fruit. Let's go look at fruit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. So get it. You know, here are our hearts, and our hearts started out in a pretty sad situation, and we're studying, and we're putting God's word in there. And, of course, the first thing that happened is when we believed, the Holy Spirit came in there. So we have the Holy Spirit, and now we're putting God's words in there, and the Holy Spirit uses those words, the Bible says, to produce fruit. So let's look at the fruit. The fruit is Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, where it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." But wait, none of these things are things we do. And the whole religious world has been getting us to do things all the time. We've got to do something. But the fruit of the Spirit is not something that we do. None of it is the works of our flesh. Yet that is what religion focuses on, is the works of our flesh, what we're supposed to do. But if we do it this way, if we study God's Word, if we believe it in our hearts, and if the Holy Spirit produces through it a change in our character, which is what the fruit is all about, is that the Spirit is changing our character. He's not getting us to jump out there and park cars or pass out pamphlets or anything else. He's working in our inward character is what he's doing. And how might that affect the words that we do, the works that we do? Do you see what I'm saying? The religion has got it backwards. They get you out there doing things you don't want to do in order that you may appear righteous. But God says, no, no, no. Get his Spirit in you, which you do by believing, and then get his Word in you, and then the Spirit will work in you and grow your character, and then your godly character happens to produce more works that God ordains for you to do. And all this is important because all of us that are alive today are going to face one of two judgments. All of us. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Chapter 9, verse 27, where the Lord tells us, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." It's appointed once to die, but after this, the judgment. And that's what makes death scary. You know, even to non-believers, even the rebels and the atheists have heard of the judgment to come, and they want to reject it and dismiss it. But in the back of their minds, they're scared of it. That's why everybody's scared of death. They would like to think that by dismissing God, they're not under judgment. They're not under the law. But what if they are wrong? They're going to hell if they're wrong. They're going to hell. What if we're wrong?
Going to hell. No.
We're
just going to lay there.
We're just going to die. You know, so that's the difference. Somebody told me once, well, I'd much rather not believe in any of it and party and have a great time and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, when I die, I die. I said, no. Not when you die, you die. If you're wrong, when you die, you go to hell. He says, yeah, but what if you're wrong? Well, if I'm wrong, I've had a life full of joy and everything's great. And when I die, I die. Because, well, I believe that I don't. I believe that I go on, you know. So if they're wrong, they're going to hell. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56. I used to always, when I went into a church service back in the old days, when I occasionally would attend a church, as soon as I heard them talking about fire, hell, and damnation, I'd walk out. I didn't want to listen to that, you know, because I was pretty sure that I knew where I was going, and I didn't want to hear about it, you know. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56, Paul tells us that the sting of death is sin. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. So why is sin the sting of death? In other words, that means that death wouldn't have a sting if it wasn't for sin. Sin is the sting of death. And it's because of the judgment. See, if there was no sin, we'd just die. There's no judgment. There's no sting. But because of the judgment, sin is the sting of death. We've all sinned. We're all going to die. And we've got a judgment we've got to go to after we die. So, now, the atheist thinks that without the law there would be no sting. And they think they've erased the law by saying they don't believe in it. But the opposite has happened. Instead of them erasing the law by saying they don't believe in it, they have subjected themselves to the law by saying they don't believe in Jesus Christ. Because it's one of two things. Either Jesus Christ died on that cross for your sins and paid for them there, or you're going to face God with those sins at a judgment time. So, if they are wrong and they have bet their eternal life on it, they have chosen to be judged by the law. And don't they say it? What do they put on the buses? You know, be good for goodness' sake. You know, we don't need that religious stuff to be righteous. They think they can be right on their own. So they're going to get a chance to prove it in front of God, who will open up all our hearts and show it all. And let's see what judgment looks like for people that are under the law. Let's start out in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36.
I didn't know you were going to open that heart up. Now, that could be dangerous.
Chapter 12, verse 36. We're going to leave a lot of things out that are going to happen then, but this is pretty representative. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 says, the Lord said when he was here on earth, he says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. You ever given an idle word out? Every idle word at the day of judgment. Now, what the atheist or the non-believer thinks, and even what some Christians that don't understand that they're not under the law, that think they're still under the law, what they think is they can make up for it. They can make up for those idle thoughts with good works. And so let's go to Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. That's right in the middle about Frank, after Psalms and Proverbs. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6.
Isaiah's Old Testament.
Yeah. Right about real close to the middle of the book.
Y'all go on, don't worry.
Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. Where the Lord tells us through Isaiah, he says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So, can we make up for some of those idle thoughts? The best makeup test, God says, gets an F. It's like filthy rags. So, it's like you have a scales of justice, right? And here's the scale. And here you have your tray on each side. And on this side is every idle thought, word, and action that you ever took. It's way down here. But what we do, what the non-believer does, is he rushes over here to this one, and he starts piling on what he thinks are all his good deeds to try and even it out. And boy, he keeps piling them all, and it looks like it's coming down a little. But then what God does, what justice does, it takes all of those good deeds that the man thought he did, and he says, these are filthy rags, they belong over here. And it all goes down. And that's how it is under the law. That's the judgment under the law. That's what they're asking to face. But, so in other words, there's no way to erase every idle thought and deed that we do. There's no way to erase it by our good works, but only by trusting in Jesus Christ and what He did for us. That's the only way. And which judgment we go through depends on the next verse. Let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 23.
You know, I wondered how he was going to keep all that stuff in that book when he got up there in front of him. That book, he opens that heart up and there it all is. Huh?
Wide open. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And that's really, this is really the only way out. Chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." So which judgment we go to is whether we have the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ, or whether we have depended on our works, on our wages. And the pay for that is death. But we do both go through judgment. So let's look at those two judgments. And if you'll look at your piece of paper, you'll see that on one side, you've got the great white throne. And on the other side, you've got the seat of Christ. These are both judgment seats. And then we have the different who's going to be at each of these locations. When are they going to be there? What's the basis of the judgment? What is the judgment itself? And what are the rewards? So starting with the great white throne, who will be judged over here is unbelievers. People who aren't saved. People who have not had their sins judged when Jesus Christ was judged on the cross. That's who will be at the great white throne. Everybody that's not under the Lord. These people really say that they want justice. And they're going to get it. And then on the other side, over here, at the seat of Christ, it's going to be believers. People who are already saved. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. In other words, at this seat, the seat of Christ, it's us. And Colossians chapter 2, 13 says about us, says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Mm-hmm. We have had all our trespasses forgiven. Yes. None of these trespasses have been forgiven, the people that are under the great white throne. All right, the next thing is, when is this going to happen? Well, the great white throne, let's start at Revelation chapter 20. Verse 11.
I've never been back here.
Well, it's the last book.
Well, I'm here.
Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, where it says, And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it. This is John who's had this revelation. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. So this is going to be a judgment where the earth and the heaven, they're all faded away. There's just the people being judged and God. And then, so let's go, and it's going to happen at the end of time. Let's read verse 7. It says, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison." So it's going to happen after he's loosed out of his prison. And let's read verse 8. "And shall go out to deceive the nations which are found in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." And then let's read verse 10. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." And right after that is when we see the great white throne appear. So it's after tribulation. It's after the 1,000-year kingdom of Christ. It's at the very end of time is the when on the great white throne. Then let's find out when we get judged at the seat of Christ. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5.
Where are we going?
1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. And while you're getting there, so in other words, the great white throne is going to be way here at the very end of the time that God has revealed to us. While what we're going to read right now, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come." So one thing we know is it's not going to happen before the time that the Lord comes. "Who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God." So this judgment isn't going to happen until the Lord comes. And when he comes, let's remember that. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 16 and 17. This is our judgment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall be with the Lord," shall ever be with the Lord. So we're talking about, in this case, it's everything Paul's taught us about, and then comes the rapture. That's what it's talking about right here. That when does our judgment come? After the rapture. We get raised up at when the Lord comes for us. We get raised up to meet him in the air. And then we go off to judgment, to give an accounting of ourselves. All right, now let's talk about the basis in each case. On what grounds are we being judged? At the time of the great white throne, Revelation again, chapter 20, verses 11 and 12. Now this gets a little interesting here if you'll follow me. Revelation chapter 12 chapter 20 verse 11 and 12. And again John is telling us what he sees, and he says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works.
Okay.
So they were judged according to their works, which is how they wanted to be judged. They thought they were better than other people, and they could come out better off by their works. So they're being judged by the things done by the outer man, by the works. You follow me? It's no thoughts in here. It's works. They're being judged by their works, the outer man. These are the people whose sins were not judged at the cross. They said, I want to be judged by my works. And they're going to be judged by their works. So that's the basis. And God is ratifying their choice. They have a choice. How dare God send somebody to hell? They asked for it. He said, here's the way out. Here's my son. And that's the way out. And they say, oh no, I'm going to stand on my own 2 feet. I'm not going to be weak like you. So they're going to stand on their own 2 feet, and they're going to be judged by what they do in their outer body. Not the inner man, but the outer man. They don't even have an inner man. Right? Okay, what about us? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. And here, of course, Paul is talking to us believers. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. And chapter 5, verse 10. And he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear, all of us. Before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So listen to this. He didn't say here things done by the body. He didn't talk about outer works here. It's a subtle little change. He says we're going to be judged according to things done in our body. Okay? So, he's talking about the inner man. Things done. He's going to look at our heart. He's going to look at their heart. He's going to look at our heart. So, isn't that interesting? The inner man. The outer man has perished. He doesn't have an outer man to look at. The outer man's gone. He's looking at the inner man. That's who's standing in front of him. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. It says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outer man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
Well.
For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal, and that's what we're going to be looked at for, is the things that are not seen, the things not done by our outside body, the things that are on the inside. Is everybody with me so far? Okay. And these inner things that are in here, remember we started out with a black heart. And then the light of God came in and the Holy Spirit came in. And as we studied God's Word, we added the doctrines of God. They're in here. And as we added those doctrines of God, the Holy Spirit used that to produce fruit in here. And remember what the fruit is? It's our character. It's not things we do. It's our character. Our character has grown and changed. So this is what he's going to be looking at. It's what he tells us. So, religion focuses on the outer body. And the only place the outer body is going to be looked at is the great white throne. And there's nothing the outer body can do to save you.
Wow.
Religion looks at attendance, activity, performance. What we do. Godly edifying is all in the inner man. Through faith in God's Word and the fruit of the Spirit. It's not concerned with the works of the flesh at all. So when you've been going all your life and be told, well, God's not going to like you unless you do this and you do that and you do the other, God's not even going to look at that. He's looking inside. Okay, now let's look. We've seen what the basis is. Now let's look at the judgment itself. Let's go to Revelation again, chapter 20, verse 8. Revelation chapter 20, verse 8. And I know that's wrong. Lake of Fire. It's verse 15. And let's go ahead and say 14 and 15. Man, I was misfiring, wasn't I? We just finished reading in 13 that every man will be judged according to his works at the great white throne. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So the judgment to the unsaved is the lake of fire. This is what they've chosen. They chose this, believe it or not. In their pride, they said, we don't need mercy. We don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. We can stand on our own two feet. No wonder God says they're fools. You know, it seems like a long time away right now. But when they're standing there at the great white throne, we're talking about an eternity. All right, let's talk about our judgment then. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 13. And of course, the first part of our judgment, the reason that we are judged at the seat of Christ and not at the great white throne, is verse 11. We have the foundation. It says, for other foundation can no man lay than that that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So the first thing is we believe and we have a foundation, which is Christ Jesus himself. Then it says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's works shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So, here's where every man's work is going to be seen. It's going to be made manifest. What's in this heart? Is it God's Word? And having had the God's Word in here, has the Holy Spirit produced fruit, which means has our character grown? Now, we don't have to have a perfect character, thanks to God, when we go towards heaven, because He's going to change it and make it perfect. But the judgment for rewards, which is what this is based on how much of God's Word's in there. How much the Holy Spirit has grown our character because of that reason. And therefore, with our character changed, being more loving, more kind, how many more works we've done that God ordained. Not that the church told us to do or we thought would be right, but that God ordained for us to do. What is our heart going to look like? That's what He's judging completely, is the heart. How useful have we been to the Lord in our lives? Those are our jewels, the jewels He's talking about. And everything else is going to be burned away. That's wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to be gone. He's not even going to look at it. He's looking at the heart, because this is for rewards, not for punishment. Our punishment was on the cross with Jesus Christ. It does not come into view here. The only thing that comes into view is how useful have we become for Him in whatever He has planned for us for the future. And for that part, then, let's go to the last list, and that's rewards. And we know that the great white throne offers no rewards. But for us, we do have rewards. And let's go first to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Remember, we're going through this process that we've just read. Every man's work shall be made manifest, and it'll be tried by fire. And in verse 14 it says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon. In other words, if they're still, when you go through the fire and it's burned away all the stuff that doesn't count, and all that's left is the good things in your heart, it says if there's anything there, you'll receive a reward. So if you actually have no one verse out of God's Word rightly divided, it'll still be there. You know, and if you have a little kindness in your heart, it'll still be there. If anything abides, and anything good will abide, you'll receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So just imagine yourself as a Christian who turned away from the Lord all your life. You just never thought about Him. You went out and had a great time and all of that. Well, when you come through this process, you're just a little naked person singed, you know. You got some singed spots on you, and you're a little bit ashamed, you know. But you're still saved. That's what the Lord says. And that's kindness. You know, we're still saved. So then let's go from that to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Singed but saved. Second Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Where Paul gives us a little insight to rewards. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That sounds like a pretty good crown. There's different crowns. This one's a crown of righteousness. But listen to what else he says. He says, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Is he being conceited? He says, no. He says, because it's not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Okay. So every one of us who've been saved and who look forward to seeing the Lord, we're going to get a crown of righteousness. You know? Don't know what else we're going to get, but we're going to get that. That's us. Then let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Look at all this stuff we're putting in our hearts today. We're loading up. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, where it tells us, in fact, I'll go ahead and start with verse 4, where he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved. And then he says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. So the exceeding riches of his grace, if you think for one thing that he's taken us who were sinners and he saved us, and then he's taken us and he's given us some rewards. And we wouldn't even have those rewards if it wasn't that he opened our hearts to understand, and that his Spirit came and indwelt us, and that as we took in his Word, he grew us and changed us, and that at the end he changes us completely and we have no sin whatsoever. That just shows his kindness. And when you think about his kindness, because see, we don't really know what all it's going to be like for an eternity. All we know is that we've studied that the Jews are an earthly people. And we've heard all about their kingdom and what they're going to get on earth. And those 12 apostles are going to get sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And we know that we're a heavenly people. And we know that he tells us we're even going to judge angels. So all we can do is imagine. We have no idea. But if you'll really think about it, there's a lot more heaven than there is earth. And I wanted to read you something. I don't usually quote scientists, but, you know, sometimes they discover true things, and it's only when they start getting into religion that they mess up. But it came out of the newspaper. It says, scientists have estimated the first cosmic census of planets in our galaxy. Now, our galaxy is the Milky Way. There are other galaxies. It's just our galaxy. And the numbers are astronomical. At least 50 billion planets in the Milky Way. Wow. Now, they must be there for some reason. Somebody's got to take care of all this stuff. At least 500, well, that's all I wanted to tell you. It's just, it's huge, it's amazing, and, you know, God must have done it for some reason. So, we get to be in the heavenlies, and the Jews get to be on the earth, and that's what our future is. And we don't know exactly how it is, but we know that, well, the thing we do know is the rewards we receive are for the things done in the inner man. That's the eternal stuff. All the rest is nothing. There's no outer man left. They, the Jews, the unbelievers, whether they be Jews or not, the unbelievers receive punishment as because of their choice to be judged by the things done in their body, in the outer man. That's been their choice. So what about today? Well, today we stand forgiven by trusting in Christ. We have a new man in here, but we still have the old man too. Our job, should we decide to accept it, like they used to say in Mission Impossible, is to fill our heart with God's Word, rightly divided, pushing the old man further away the more of God's Word we put in. The Holy Spirit will use God's Word to effectually produce fruit in us, which means that if you take a Christian and you see him 20 years later who has been studying God's Word and putting it in his heart, you will see growth in his character. It will happen. You will see a character that has grown. So that's what that fruit is. It's a godly character. He's becoming more and more of a godly character. And out of this character come works that are ordained by God. It's just a natural thing. Those works, that fruit and the doctrine that's in our hearts, is what the Bible calls gold, silver, and precious stones. So that's our future. We're in a no-lose situation. We can't go to hell. We're definitely going to heaven. And we're going to get some rewards. And there, we don't even have to think about those, because the more we study God's Word and the more we follow the Holy Spirit down here, the more joy is in our lives down here, the more peace we have, but also the more the rewards we'll get up there. But when we slip back into the old man, which we're always being tempted to do, prove the old man that he's okay, using our strength to do these outer good works, not following the Lord, but using our strength. And the way we know we've done this is because it's something we can get credit for. And we can brag about. That is wood, hay, and stubble. That's going to be singed right off of us when we go through. That's religion. Yes. That's a cover-up. Yes. That's us trying to prove we're somebody we're not. And that cover gets burned off completely when we go through the fire. And that's God's word for today.